You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guests and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, 3MR Productions, its ownership, management, or staff.
We've got the power.
Mr. Speaker!
Mr. Speaker, can I have
this is State News and Views with State Senator Charlita Tavares. State news and views that our people can use inside the legislature. Going from Main Street to the State House, you will hear it first right here on TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio the way it should be heard. This is State Senator Charlita Tavares, and we are here live in the studio, and I've got a special guest with me this evening. Before I get to that, I want to remind everyone that you can call in 1-877-932-9766. That's 1-877-932-9766. We are going to talk about community action and community action broadly, but we have a giant of an agency here in Central Ohio, and one that has been a leader in the fight against poverty, whether you know it as Impact Community Action or you knew it under its other life as Kamako. This is the organization that assists individuals and families throughout our community, Columbus and Franklin County. And we have a director, the CEO of the organization, Robert Bo Chilton. And Bo is no stranger here in the studio, but he's also no stranger to those who have worked with city government and the Urban League, because Bo used to be my legislative aide when I served as a city council member. He also served as the director of the African American Male Initiative at the Columbus Urban League. He is now the CEO of Impact Community Action. In addition, he is the chair of the Franklin County Human Services Chamber and serves as a program coordinator for the African American Leadership Academy. He serves on several boards that are very important to the community: Learn for Life, the Central Ohio Workforce Investment Corporation, and the Ohio Association of Community Action Agencies, and the Urban Resurrection Development Corporation. We're going to talk about a number of those, but welcome to the studio.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, we are glad to have you back. You know, there are many people that are struggling out here in our community, and I know that Impact has some special programs, and we want to talk about those and also what's going on with the community action effort around the state of Ohio. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what's going on here in Central Ohio?
Okay. Well, as you know, with this tough economy, poverty has been on the rise, and we continue to see that. As a matter of fact, what was a little bit surprising to many people was a benchmarking study by the Community Research Partners on behalf of the Columbus Partnership, where we basically benchmark Columbus against 16 other cities, including Cleveland, Cincinnati, Indianapolis, and other cities who are like us, and that Columbus was number one on the poverty in terms of the number of people living in poverty. And
wait a minute. Columbus, number one. We beat Cleveland, who has a huge poor population?
Absolutely, in terms of the numbers. And so you will hear people say, well, you got to measure, you know, the boundaries of what constitutes Cleveland versus Columbus and things of that nature. But in terms of the raw number, yeah, that's a surprise to many people, is that we have more people living in poverty in Columbus than we did in Cincinnati and Cleveland.
And from my understanding from that report, and I must give a plug to Community Research Partners, that's an organization that I helped create, and it is an organization that does evaluation and data collection in our community. But if I remember correctly, our numbers have gone up over the last several years.
Yes, they are going up. And so that's one of the things. And so, you know, I even asked Bobby Garber, who is the executive director, I said, you know, how can we account for this, and how do we kind of reconcile that, given that the perception in our community is that Columbus has always fared very well in terms of our economy compared to some other cities. And this is true. And she said, well, they would have to, of course, dive a little deeper into the data to understand all the variables that contributed to it. But ultimately, she said, Columbus is a destination city where many people do want to relocate. So we probably have a greater portion of people who are relocating here who are already unemployed. We do have a significant immigrant population. And so there's, you know, challenges with employment. And so that may contribute to our overall numbers, but that's still a surprise. And it's one of the things that I've always kind of understood, that Columbus is a great place to live, work, and raise a family. Very strong in terms of middle class values. As a matter of fact, I think Black Enterprise had ranked us as the number one place for African Americans to live. But there's still a significant population who don't have access to the kind of opportunities that many of us have been able to take advantage of. And oftentimes, those are the people whose voices we don't hear. And that's one of the reasons why an organization such as ours tries to make sure that we keep issues that pertain to the most vulnerable in our community at the forefront.
And you know, this isn't new to you. You fought very hard on... as a member of the City of Columbus staff on the legislative side to address issues around poverty, issues around basic needs. Because, again, there are so many in our community, and sometimes people want to forget because it's easier to deal with the things that aren't tough or the heavy lifting that needs to take place. But you went from the City of Columbus over to Community Action, which you're doing heavy lifting amongst people within our community, the older adults, the elderly, children, and those who are extremely poor who need extra help.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny you mentioned that because I happened to just be having a conversation with someone who actually my former landlord who was running into some code violations. And I was telling him of the documentary from some years back, Flag Wars, and talked about how you had realty or realtors who were looking to kind of cash in with some of the folks who were living in Old Town East, senior citizens who were on fixed income, had beautiful old homes, but needed some updating, may have had some code violations. And so you had some people who would then tell the code enforcement officers to go and look at that. You know, they would write up the violations, and then they were using that to then put pressure on people to try and sell their homes and say, well, you have all these code violations that you need to update. Instead, why don't you just sell it to us for this nominal fee and then perhaps go get something new that you won't
and
have to
fix
up.
And the fee might sound, or the fixed price might sound good, particularly
yes.
If you bought your house, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago and you paid little compared to today's prices. And so if somebody says, I'll give you $50,000 for that house, that if it were brought up to code and if there was some renovation, even internally, it would sell for $100,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more.
Exactly.
So to an older adult who hadn't seen $50,000, never paid $50,000 for their house, it would seem like a lot, but you couldn't buy another house with that little $50,000.
Exactly. And this is what's so important about the intersection of how we live our lives and the services that we provide and public policy. So I was proud to tell them, I said, well, you know, I worked for a legislator at the time, Councilwoman Tavares, who created a program whereby we were advocating for seniors to be able to take no interest loans out, and they would not have to pay that back until the property transferred, whether they sold it or gave it to their children. And that was a way for people to fix up their house. And so that's where public policy, a lot of times people may say, well, why is it important for me to vote? You know, we have an important election coming up. But these are the types of things is when you have advocates, when you have true public servants, they can create policies that can help people. And the lesson that I learned when I came to work for you is it's much better to be proactive in shaping policies than always reacting to them.
Well, and that's why it was a natural fit for you to become the CEO of the Community Action Agency in our community, Impact, because, again, you can work on public policy and you can work on direct services to help those seniors who are very vulnerable.
Absolutely.
And that's the other issue that Community Research Partners and other, I think they're... there are a lot of partners in our community that need to be addressing this issue of older adults, because that's the population that is growing exponentially each month. I can't remember what the figure it is. It's something like 60,000 people in Ohio turn 60 each month. I've got to get that statistics from the Ohio Department of Aging, but the numbers are growing exponentially. And so the kinds of services we're providing, the kinds of housing we're developing, the supports necessary to support transportation, a big one.
Yes.
Because older adults in some cases have to give up their license because they can no longer navigate driving a car. And so if you don't have that public transportation, you're not going to have older adults that are able to go out and get that socialization activities that they need to have a full life.
That's right. Absolutely. And so our agency, I think you put it very well, is it really is an intersection between direct services and public policy, kind of community action. That's what we're about. So in terms of direct services, we do serve low-income people who are at 200% of the poverty, federal poverty line.
Give me a roundabout number, around 200% of poverty. For
200% of poverty for a single person would be about $18,800. For a family of four, about $44,100. And so a couple of our programs, which is the home energy assistance and the weatherization program, and I'll talk a little bit more about those, are at the 200%. And then, unfortunately, our other programs like workforce development, financial literacy, and our supportive self-sufficiency, which is case management and reentry, those programs are at 125%. And the difference there is because of the federal funding source and the restrictions and guidelines that they place on it. But with those programs, home energy assistance program, we see about 20,000 customers a year. And we assist them with their utility bills. And we can make sure that for people who are paying, have exorbitant heating bills and electric bills, we can help them with putting a place so that they won't be cut off. But also we can put them on the percentage of income payment plan so that if they are low income, then they can just pay a portion. 6% of their annual income each month will go toward that. And the nice thing about the PIP program is as long as you're paying at least that 6% each and every month, then whatever arrearages are building up in terms of the unpaid amount will actually be forgiven as long as you make those on-time payments over the course of 2 years.
And that's key, the on-time, because you and I have had some constituent cases where people have made an agreement with the gas or electric company and agreed that they would be on the percentage of income program, that they would pay that amount each month, and then would, for whatever reason, fall behind and then couldn't get back on the percentage of income because they reneged or didn't live up to that a negotiated contract.
Exactly. And it's so important. And I know that, when people are struggling and you have to make a choice about do I pay this electric bill or do I pay for medicine for my prescriptions or put food on the table, a lot of times, the electric will fall by the wayside. However, it can come back to haunt you when it's really cold out and you don't have heat. And so we really tried to work with them because it has been a paradigm shift to say it's really important that we put together a budget. And so we work with them. We have a financial literacy program where we really try and help build budgets, anticipate, what might be the needs and make sure that we have a cushion to pay anything that may come up that you don't necessarily plan for, because it's important to make that payment each and every month, and then that will help you at the end of 2 years. You have wiped the slate clean, you don't have those arrearages, and you can just continue to pay a percentage of your income.
And that's a wonderful program, and as you said, it's for gas and or electricity.
Yes.
Because some people have total electricity, yes. Gas or heating, and then others have both gas and electricity.
Yeah. And so one of the programs we have not had in the past, but we're going to be implementing after this summer, will be also assisting customers with their water bills. And so we're looking forward to that. And
of course, because unfortunately, with the consent decree, with the federal government, with our water and sewer lines and structures, the prices of water and all of those water and sewer have gone up.
Yes.
And, you know, again, if you're on a fixed income, your fixed income doesn't go up.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. And so we have also in the form of emergency assistance, we do provide emergency rental assistance or mortgage assistance. Those are one-time offers per year to really address any unforeseen crisis that may have came up. And so we try and assist people in that regard as well. And so,
but you don't have an unlimited amount of money. So
no.
Even though a person could have a benefit of one time a year assistance, it's based on how far the resources go. In other words, if you run out of money, then there's no money to give that one time assistance.
That's right. That's right. We do have a limited resource, and what people need to understand, part of this debate that we hear in Congress about cutting spending and, you know, especially domestic discretionary spending, you know, a lot of people don't know what that means, but what that actually is translating to is monies that fund programs like ours. It's monies that fund programs like Columbus Metropolitan Housing Authority and the HUD dollars, the Section 8 dollars. It's money that would go to
our federally qualified health centers, our
federally qualified health centers, job and family services, and the TANF benefits. All of us are potentially facing cuts all at the same time. And so, you know, we've had discussions about how we've had to reduce our funding, our programs, our access to services, and it's all happening at the same time. And so as bad as things have been, if we're not really active politically, making sure that we have people who understand the needs of common everyday people in this tough economy, and that we're not just kind of focused on you know, a lot of the rhetoric we hear is preserving dollars for the job creators.
In other words, giving all of the incentives and all of the resources to the businesses who are the job creators. But
exactly.
If you create the jobs and you don't have any people ready because they're out here struggling,
exactly.
Then you've created a number of jobs that won't be filled.
Exactly. And I think people understand that because they're cutting funding to training and education, all of the things, because we know that in this new economy, you need to have updated skills. And
you can no longer go through life without knowing how to use a computer.
Exactly.
And a lot of people, unfortunately, that had very, very good jobs in manufacturing,
that's right,
or in a number of our auto plants throughout the state of Ohio, or some of those subsidiaries of those auto industry jobs, didn't need a computer and didn't need the skills. But in today's economy, no matter where you go, even if you go to a plant, manufacturing plant,
yes,
you still have to know how to use a computer.
Absolutely. A lot of things are being driven by robotics and electronics. My brother is a diesel mechanic. He works on semi-trucks, and he's in demand because he understands with the new electrical systems that are run by computers, how to do all the troubleshooting. I mean, he used diagnostic equipment that requires computer skills, so everything is tied to computers these days. But unless people have access to the opportunities to learn those skills, you know, they're really going to be kind of stuck in a low-income type of job. And what we see, you hear this trend about the working poor, and that's what we see. A lot of people are working but still living in poverty.
And we're going to talk about the working poor and other programs coming up next.
President Pro Tem, I'd love to speak. Mr. Speaker, Governor, I'd love to ask you a question.
Honey, I'm home. I've got a surprise for you. Ugh.
Get that filthy, disgusting tire out of my living room. You're on my favorite rug.
Calm down. You're going to love this.
What? Whoa. The goldfish bowl.
I won't run over them. Relax.
You roll that tire right back out of here.
Relax. It's all part of my master plan to save us money.
This is not going to be our coffee table. Don't even think about putting a piece of glass on top.
No, honey. This is a reminder to keep our tires properly inflated so we can save money on gas.
Can't we just tie a string around our fingers?
Sweetie, properly inflated tires could save us more money at the pump than a week's worth of gas.
You're getting tire tracks on my love seat.
Exactly. To remind us that we love saving gas with properly inflated tires.
What's wrong with a sticky note on the dashboard?
Discover smarter ways to save hundreds of dollars on gas and help the environment, too, at the Alliance to Save Energy's website, drivesmarterchallenge.org.
Hey, let's put the sticky note on the tire.
I go to school with your children. We say the Pledge of Allegiance together. I'm one out of every four children in America, and I'm struggling with hunger. I'm lucky to grow up where I could be whatever I want. I want to grow up and be someone who doesn't go to bed hungry. Please visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank. Every dollar you donate helps provide 7 meals for kids like me. Together, we're Feeding America. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You and your family are connected by routine, and you stick to it. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if your day's routine is disrupted and you can't reach your family? Have you planned for that? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
My name is Ruth Rusi. I volunteer with United Way, reading to children to help prepare them for a better academic future. I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Peace Corps, life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit PeaceCorps.gov.
You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network.
And TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.
This is State Senator Charlita Tavares on State News and Views, and you can call us at 1-877-932-9766. And in the studio, I have Bo Chilton, who is the CEO of Impact Community Action. And we were talking about the growth in poverty. We were talking about the impact of federal cuts and planned reductions in major program areas that serve people in our community. And we'll talk about that, Bo. I want you to talk more about that as we went to break, but also we were talking on the break about why it's important for people to be active in this upcoming election.
Absolutely. We talk about the importance of being registered voters and to come out and to vote, not only for presidential elections, but also for congressional seats and for state and city and county is so important. Because we got to make sure that we have people who understand the needs of our community. And I can tell you one of the concerns, I'm not sure exactly where it's going to go, but one of the things that we had heard that was being advocated at the state level with this administration was kind of channeling the dollars that have typically gone to Job and Family Services and then to local WIBs, which is Work Enforcement Boards. So locally for us, it's COWIC, Central Ohio Workforce Investment Corporation. But the dollars that go to them to provide training so that people can update their skills, that much of that money may be shifted to this new entity, Jobs Ohio, and that more of those training dollars are going to be given directly to businesses and private corporations. And the concern there is that, you know, a business has to invest in their own training. We, as nonprofits, you know, we put dollars into training our staff, making sure they have updated skills. And so for that to be supplanted with these taxpayer
with
dollars.
With your dollars. Your exactly. dollars, those of us who work every day, including individuals who are extremely poor. It's your tax dollars that they're talking about giving to for-profit businesses so that they can make more profits for their investors and their shareholders rather than investing in their own employees and training their new employees.
Exactly, because you're lowering the cost of their expenses for normal training and development that any entity would have to do. But by shifting those resources, and then the real concern is, will the general public have access to those types of jobs? Whereas you might have been able to go to COWIC and get the dollars to become a state tested nurse assistant, or to get the skills updated. I know that we had program participants who wanted to work on their CPA, and they were able to go to COWIC and actually get the dollars to pay for it so that they could train, take the test, and then become a certified public accountant. If those dollars are now shifted to private corporations, then they're only going to be giving those dollars to the people that they've already hired and then are trying to work and update their skills. And so I think it cuts off access and opportunity to a lot of people who will be left out in the cold. And so that's obviously a great concern for us.
Not only that, Bo, but also those employers who have specialized needs. I mean, you know, I can understand our developing with our community colleges, our training or proprietary schools, specialized training for an industry that's new to a community where they need lots of employees, and so you've got to train them before they come into the business. If it's a new growth area or if there are lots of people who need training at the same time. But again, it would be a specialized training with certification from a community college or a proprietary school, and that the individual, you know, the individual that comes into the COWIC doors would then sign up to be one of those trained individuals. They met the minimum qualifications for the job, then they would get the specialized training. But if you give the money to the corporation and the corporation gets to pick and choose, you know, who they bring in the door for the job,
that's right,
and then do the training, then that really is their responsibility.
That's
it is
right.
Not the responsibility of a COWIC or government, so to speak, to say, oh, we're going to take this burden off of you so that you have more profits and that you can cream the employees, rather than government dollars should be helping the people who don't have a job and have the least likely ability to get the job without additional training.
That's right. And the reality is that COWIC already has programs that benefit both employees or potential employees and the employers. They have what they call on-the-job readiness training. And what they're able to do for employers who may have those specialized training needs is to say, okay, we will basically subsidize the wages of this employee by 50%. We'll pay 50% of their wages for almost up to 6 months in some cases. And so that's a benefit to the employer and to the person. But coming through the COWIC door, it's open and accessible to all. You hit the nail on the head when you said when you start shifting those resources and give them directly to for-profit businesses, that access won't be available to all. And that's a concern. And the other concern is with entities that are totally taxpayer funded, there is a level of transparency and accessibility that anyone who wants to see, well, how are my tax dollars being spent, they can go and access that information, because there's a certain responsibility that those federally funded organizations have. But with a private sector corporation who receives federal dollars, they have no obligation.
No matter how many federal dollars they receive, which is not fair, but it's also not, in my opinion, fair to the taxpayer. It's like your dollars have gone here, and we can look at some of the federal suppliers of equipment for the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq.
Yes.
For-profit businesses that wasted, and we've got information that says they wasted billions, not millions,
that's right,
billions of your taxpayer dollars. And because we didn't get to open up all of those books,
that's right,
all we were able to find out is through the federal government when receipts or invoices were reviewed and what was actually purchased or what was actually supplied versus what the invoice said.
That's right.
That's the only way we found out. But as far as going in and looking at the books and making sure that the dollars were spent appropriately and that it was shared with the taxpayer early on instead of at the end of a contract, that wasn't available.
Absolutely. And that's the real difference. And that's why taxpayers should really demand that their dollars go to organizations that have that level of accountability. You know, with COWIC, they're audited by the state auditor. They come in, they look at the books, they make sure that they're compliant with all the guidelines. If people want to make a request according to the Sunshine Laws, which says that, you know, all meetings have to be advertised in advance, they have to be open meetings. You know, the general public, the media is able to come and sit in and hear how their taxpayer dollars are being spent. With private corporations, you don't have that.
And again, our whole focus is making sure that the people that need the jobs. I mean, you know, some of us have always been concerned about supporting folks who want to get a promotion and using taxpayer dollars for that when you don't have enough to train everybody.
Right.
And there are people that are unemployed who don't even have a job. That should be our priority. You know, if we're going to reduce the unemployment rolls in Columbus and Franklin County, our first priority should be to ensure that everybody has an opportunity to get a job rather than helping people to update or get promotions. If you have a finite pool of dollars for training, then you've got to look at how do we get the masses trained in the appropriate skills so that they can get those jobs.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so with our agency, one of the metaphors I always use is if you give a person a fish, they eat for a day. You teach them to fish, they'll eat for a lifetime. But I always say you're not going to eat for a lifetime unless there's some pond, river, sea by which to cast your rod and catch that fish. And so we try and give people fish through the emergency assistance that we provide to take care of their emergency needs. But we also have empowerment programs such as workforce development. That is a 5-week intensive work readiness program. Program participants work or come and go through these skills updating for 5 weeks, Monday through Friday, from 9 to 3, and we do provide a stipend because we understand people still have bills to pay, and while they're trying to get these skills and that training, and so we have workforce development, computer literacy, financial literacy. We've noticed a lot of people, a reentry program.
Good.
People coming back into our community. A lot of people don't have the computer skills. They may have been incarcerated for a number of years. And those are all important programs.
And even if they had them while they were in, the technology and the software has changed
Absolutely.
So much year after year that even if they had the skills, they need some kind of a refresher course and updates on the software.
That's right. Absolutely. And so kind of going back to that metaphor, so we give people fish through emergency service. We teach them to fish through our empowerment services programs. But then we want to make sure that they have a place so that once they've learned these skills, that they have access to opportunities. And that's why this advocacy piece is so important, making sure that we're really keeping an eye on public policy issues that's going to impact people so that once they've gone through this, that they then have the opportunity to truly become self-sufficient.
And speaking of advocacy, I know that's one of the roles of the Human Services Chamber. Why don't you talk a little bit more about that? Because you were one of the founders of the Human Services Chamber, and you're the chair.
Absolutely. So there was about 66 agencies that came together. Nonprofit human services include organizations like Habitat for Humanity, Big Brothers Big Sisters, Columbus Urban League, a number of the settlement houses, YMCA, YWCA. So some of the major nonprofit human service agencies in our community who recognized that, one, we needed to really try and have a collective impact, and so that we really need to be more strategic in our alliances and working together, and quite honestly, that there's strength in numbers. So we saw some of the decisions that were being made by funders and wanted to make sure that we were having an ongoing conversation, because some of the challenges for the service providers, we're in direct connection and contact with the people in the community, and we understand the needs. But sometimes funders will have different priorities and want to drive certain programs. But we want to make sure that it's an ongoing conversation with them, understanding the needs as we see it in contact with the people. And so by coming together as a human services chamber, we're able to have greater influence in really sitting down and strategizing how can we really make this community the best place that it can possibly be.
And with that, the Human Services Chamber also did a research study to really talk about the cost-benefit analysis of our human services agencies in Columbus and Franklin County, and talked about, you know, the economy that's driven by all of the staff, the income taxes that are collected for the city of Columbus, the county of Franklin, the number of employees that you're providing jobs for. And so, you know, sometimes people just look at it, even though the numbers are huge, with the number of people that you serve, your customers, your clients, your constituents that you serve as individual agencies. And there are 66 that are part of the Human Services Chamber at this point in time, but there are many, many, many more nonprofits in Columbus and Franklin County. And so when you take all of them who are providing services and you take them out of the picture, that's a huge hole. You're talking about delivering services or whether you're talking about the economic impact that it makes on a community.
Absolutely. That's an important point, because I think oftentimes there's a perception of human service agencies.
Goody two-shoes.
Yeah, being a bunch of do-gooders and everything else. And I mean,
and they do.
I like to do good.
Right.
But also understand our economic impact. And so collectively, we are the 12th largest employer in Central Ohio.
Did you hear that, Ohio? 12th largest employer in Central Ohio.
Absolutely. And our contribution to the payroll tax and the income taxes is substantial. And so to have that entity not be as strong force would have rippling implications on our economy in ways that many people don't fully realize. We have really been trying to beat the drum on making sure that people are clear about our economic impact and how we affect the economy.
And on that point, Bo, I was having a conversation a couple weeks ago with Ellen Moss Williams, who's the relatively new CEO of the Godman Guild up in the Wineland Park area, the short north area of the city of Columbus. And we were talking about, you know, the impact on staff. You all have staff who work for these nonprofits, and many are at or, you know, slightly above the poverty level or receiving the same services themselves.
Absolutely.
I was talking to another staff member of one of our settlement houses, and the staff haven't received a raise in 6 years.
So,
and on top of that, have to take 10 furlough days. They took 10 furlough days last year, which is a cut in salary. Not only did they not receive a raise, but they had to take 10 days off without pay last year, and they're going to have to do it again this year.
That's a reality of the economy that we're living in, unfortunately. And so that's why, you know, I get a little perturbed when I hear this myth perpetuated about all this waste in human services and the inefficiency. I mean, we've cut to the bare bones. And that's what many people don't know, is that, you know, my staff, who is here to help people, and, you know, every day with a bright smile on their face, you know, trying to encourage people who may be coming to us who have lost a sense of hope, but then seeing them and seeing what help they can get. But then knowing that, you know, many of my staff are receiving those services, too, because they're part of that working poor.
Yeah, they're barely making ends meet. And that's the piece that we've got to realize. And I want to talk about that and more coming up next.
President Pro Tem, I'd love to speak. Mr. Speaker, Governor, I'd love to ask you a question.
I'm a champion, realize Shaq's mechanism. Yah, 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 yah. Yah, yah, yah.
Hi, Shaquille O'Neal for Rat. This is not your normal PSA. Don't be stupid. Don't drink and drive. If you're going to go out and have a good time, it's fine. But designate a driver to drive home. Let's stop the madness. Don't drink and drive.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
This is Salif Diarra, a local health worker in a remote village in Mali, West Africa. This is Mori, a child who survived malaria because of Salif's efforts. This is Bintu, a grateful mother, one of many in Salif's village. This is you, becoming part of the story. Help local health workers like Salif make the good go even further. Visit goodgoes.org to see the many ways you can help. Brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council.
7,000 high school students drop out every school day, stack their desks one atop the other, and it's a pile more than 17,000 feet high. Go to boostup.org and learn how you can help. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
I put out way too much trash to think about recycling. I just don't get it.
Some things are very obvious, Maria.
Learn the difference between trash and recycling and more on our website, yougottabekidding.org. Visit yougottabekidding.org today.
You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network.
And TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.
This is State Senator Charlita Tavares on State News and Views here on Talktainment Radio. Radio, the way it should be heard. And I'm in the studio with Bo Chilton, the CEO of Impact Community Action. We were talking about what's going on in communities all across Central Ohio and the impact that it has disproportionately on those who are serving in the nonprofit communities and the kinds of services that they're trying to provide the staff and how many of them are also being impacted because their salaries have not kept up and they're struggling to make ends meet as well.
Has not had a raise in the last couple of years. And again, you know, they've had to make those sacrifices. And, you know, and I understand in a tough economy, we all have to make sacrifices, but I want to make sure that it's a shared sacrifice. And that's why, you know, when I hear talk about extending the Bush tax cuts to, you know, really benefit millionaires and billionaires, you know, it's really upsetting because I feel like if you know, people talk about what it means to be a patriot and an American. Well, then it needs to be a shared sacrifice across the board with everyone and not just making this burden on the backs of the most vulnerable in our community. And so that can be quite frustrating.
It is quite frustrating because, again, the words are cheap. Yeah. Shared sacrifice, shared responsibility, but it goes to the actions.
That's
and if
right.
everyone's not sharing in the sacrifice and the responsibility, then it's not shared. It's for you, those at the lowest end of the economic scale up to the middle, and those who are the wealthiest in our community are not paying their fair share, not sacrificing at the same level. Because remember, there are so many fixed costs, or not even fixed, costs that keep going up, like gasoline, that regardless of your income, you pay the same amount. So if you're a billionaire and you drive up in your Bentley to fill up your Bentley at $5 a gallon or $4 and, you know, 50 cents a gallon, the person who is making minimum wage or less is paying the same amount. So how is that a shared sacrifice?
Exactly. And, you know, so some people will call that class warfare or whatever. And, you know, I reject that notion because I absolutely have nothing against the rich. I hope to become one of them someday.
That's right. I think most people would like to be rich.
That's part of the American dream. But understanding that in this day and age that we all have to make those sacrifices. So it has to be all of us have to have skin in the game. And we can't just put it on the backs of the middle class. And unfortunately, the most recent budget proposal by I think it's Ryan
Congressman Ryan?
Yes. It's doing just that. And so I think we have to be in tune with that, and we have to make sure we're aware and that we're active this year in these races. Again, presidential as well as congressional races.
That's absolutely right. And every year there's an election, whether it's the federal and state, and there's always half of the Senate and half of the General Assembly, you know, is elected. And so those are elections at the state level. Every 2 years, congresspersons are elected. And certainly you have county commissioners who are up this time around. So you've got two county commissioners who are up this time around. And you've got local races. We had city council races last year. We'll have city council races next year. And so we really want to make sure that the people that are impacted the most, and those who need services of government or those programs and services that are funded by government, have the most to lose.
That's right.
You know, whether you've got a mortgage, an FHA mortgage, or you're taking that interest off of your taxes, which is, again, a government program that has been talked about as one of those areas that we should eliminate. Mm-hmm. So for people who are buying their house and they need that tax write-off so that they don't have to pay more in taxes, you have to pay attention to what's being discussed at the federal level.
That's
and
right.
The programs and services that they want to cut that's going to impact you directly. Student loans, you know, that's another one. Students who have huge debts, you know, that are going to have to pay on them even if they don't have a job.
That's right. Absolutely. And so, yeah, it's just so important. And so we'll definitely be working with a number of organizations to make sure that people are being educated, that they are registered to vote, and that they understand the importance of voting in each and every election, not just every 4 years when there's a presidential election. It's critically important.
It is. And you talked about reentry. That's another issue. You know, a lot of times people don't vote down the ballot all the way to the end. And generally our judges are towards the end of a sample ballot or towards the end of the ballot when you go into your polling location. And those are critical positions. We don't pay enough attention to whether there is disparate treatment amongst judges against racial, ethnic, and poor constituents. We know that there is, you know. Unfortunately, a gentleman who was running for the Supreme Court, Judge Rucker, you know, we talked about the racial fairness report and the inequities, the disparities from decision to arrest. We can go to the Trayvon Martin case, to decision to charge someone with a crime, and then how much time that person does. The Supreme Court of Ohio did their own research and found that there is bias from the decision to pull somebody over all the way up to the sentence that the person gets. So if we know that, why aren't we paying attention to who we elect as judges and prosecutors and sheriffs all across our community?
That's right. Again, it's the direct connection to our lives. And the judges are very important. I mean, they have the power to, you know, determine where you're going to spend, you know, some of your life, whether it's, you know, out here in the community being a productive, active citizen or incarcerated, unfortunately. And, you know, that's why it's so important that we're informed. And if people are looking for information, you know, please contact us at Impact Community Action, 252-2799. We have what we call our Impact Advocates. Thank you. I know that you gave a tour to some of our Impact Advocates.
Yes, we want them to be familiar with your state capitol, and we wanted the Impact Community Advocates to know exactly where they're going to go when they testify on a bill, when they come down and advocate for public policy that works to the benefit of the people that you serve.
That's right. Absolutely. And so for someone who wants to get involved but doesn't necessarily know how they can you know, make a difference, you know, we want them to join with us. Again, that number, 252-2799. You can join our Impact Advocates, and we have advocacy training. We work with the State House so that you understand how to navigate the different systems there locally with the county commissioners and with our city council.
And that's a very important initiative. And so whether you receive services from Impact Community Action or a friend or relative receives services, you can be an advocate. You can be a voice. You've got, if you're retired, if you're a stay-at-home mom, or you're an individual who has some time to lend to help be the voice, to take action on behalf of others, we need you.
Right.
And as a legislator, as a person who is developing public policy to try and help people who are in need, I need you in the audience.
That's
I need
right.
you coming down to be a witness to what people are saying and what people are doing. I'm talking about state legislators, what the state Senate is doing or not doing on your behalf. You need to see it live and in person, and then you need to be there to provide the testimony so that people can't talk about it, talk about the issues in generalities, and talk about it as if there isn't a human face attached to it, a human person that's attached to whatever that issue is. It's a lot easier to make a decision when you don't have the eyes upon you.
That's right.
And a lot easier to say some horrific things on the floor of the Senate or the floor of the House or in committee when nobody's watching.
That's
but,
right.
But you can watch. And that's the reminder. There is a public television show that goes from gavel to gavel in the Senate and in the House, and it's ohiochannel.org. You can go to ohiochannel.org and witness firsthand what's on the agenda of the Senate and of the House and see what your legislators did or did not do.
That's a great resource. The ohiochannel.org?
Correct.
Great, great.
Yeah, and for people who haven't joined our newsletter, we have an e-newsletter, and then for those who don't have internet at home, you can have it mailed to you. You can email my office at S as in Sam, D as in dog, 1515@ohiosenate.gov. We changed our email addresses, which it's a lot smaller now than the long-winded one that I used to have to say all the time, but it's sd15@ohiosenate.gov, and you can get all of the information about what's taking place in the Ohio Senate from my perspective in my newsletter. And at the bottom of that e-newsletter, you can click on the Ohio Channel and go directly to the website.
That's a great resource. Thank you for your continued advocacy on that. And I just wanted to mention also for those who may want to try and be supportive of the work that we're doing, that we'll be having our first ever fundraiser, a
Good.
Luncheon, on May 17th at 12 o'clock. And so anyone who may be interested can contact us at our website. It's www.impactca.org or our phone number at 252-2799.
And where's it going to be held at?
It's going to be at the River Club, Confluence Park.
Very good. Well, that's conveniently located. It's at, is this on a weekday?
It will be on Thursday, May 17th. Tickets are $50, and it is a fundraiser for us so that we can continue doing the great work that we're trying to do for on behalf of the community.
And so remember, everyone, with a fundraiser, it's a nonprofit, and so whatever the cost of the meal is, the additional money of the ticket you can then write off on your taxes. And if you choose to give more than the $50, it would go to help individuals within the community who need services and to help the Community Action Agency continue to serve the residents of our community.
That's
any
correct.
Other any other information you want to share?
May will be National Community Action Month, and so we're going to be planning a series of activities. Our fundraiser will be a major kickoff for us, and we hope to have resolutions from both the state legislature as well as county and city for some of the work that we're doing here. But just that, you know, we need to just stay in tune with what's going on with our federal government as they talk about these budget conversations, really understanding what that means and being active.
Well, we appreciate the work that you're doing, Bo, and certainly growing and educating more activists on behalf of our community's members who need some services from government and need some programming that meets their needs. But I also want to reinforce with folks that you can help the organizations that are serving our community by donating. I'm a huge fan of our nonprofits that are helping our citizens with health, human services, housing issues in the community of Columbus and Franklin County. And so I want you to support those organizations that are supporting our community. And then I also want to remind everyone that this is April, and April is Minority Health Month. Disproportionately, diseases and illnesses, all the major diseases and illnesses, including homicide, are disproportionately impact African Americans and other people of color. And so we have Minority Health Month. The state of Ohio was the first in the nation to create the Commission on Minority Health, and now we have commissions in 48 states throughout the United States, and we even have the federal government who has a focus on minority health so that we can eliminate these disparities and eliminate premature death and disease amongst racial and ethnic minorities in our communities. So there are lots of activities taking place in Columbus and Franklin County as well as the state of Ohio. You can contact the Ohio Commission on Minority Health. It's OMH.gov, and you can go to their website and get information about free health screenings throughout the state of Ohio here in Columbus and Franklin County, or you can contact Columbus Public Health. John Tolbert, he and his staff, Ryan Johnson, have information about activities here in Columbus and Franklin County. Free health screenings and opportunities to connect you to health care so that you can be healthy and ready for earning and learning. And then finally, if you want to call me, you can call me at 614-466-5131. That's 614-466-5131. This is TalkTainmentRadio.com. This is the way radio should be heard, and we want to thank all of our friends throughout the state of Ohio who listen through the internet radio show about the issues that we're championing in the Ohio Senate, the Ohio General Assembly, and throughout the Central Ohio area, and we will see you next week. We have one other piece that I do want to talk about, and that is saving the date for our September conference. This is my other hat. I serve as the executive director of the Multi-Ethnic Advocates for Cultural Competence, and we have our annual conference. And this year's conference is called Riding the Rapids, Integrating Care for Diverse Populations. It will be held on September the 27th and 28th of 2012. And we're really going to talk about this whole notion of patient-centered care. Patient-centered care and medical homes, and how we provide culturally and linguistically appropriate services so we can get better outcomes, so we don't have those disparities that we talked about a little earlier. We want to make sure that people are healthy and that they're getting the appropriate care so that they can live longer and not have diseases and illnesses that could be prevented. Again, that's September the 27th and the 28th, 2012. It will be held at the Embassy Suites Hotel out at the airport. For more information, contact www.maccinc.net or 614-221-7841. Again, thank you very much, Bo Chilton, CEO of Impact Community Action, for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to State News and Views with State Senator Charlita Tavares right here on TalkTainmentRadio.com. Information is power. Use it. Use it.
President Pro Tem, I'd love to speak. Mr. Speaker, Governor, I'd love to ask you a question.
I disagree with the governor on this issue.
I agree with the governor on this issue.
Thank you for listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com on WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network
and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.